Welcome, everyone, to the RF Sports Radio Show. I'm your host, Rodney Fisher. I'll be joined by my co-host, Boyd Fisher, here in just a second. This is our special NBA preview. That's right. We're going to preview the entire 2012-2013 season. We have a special guest coming on as well, Sekou Smith from NBA.com. The Hang Time blog will be joining us later on in the broadcast. But we also need your support as well. Give us a call, 323-927-2906, 323-927-2906, and also follow us on Twitter at RF Sports Radio, on the web at rfsportsradio.com. We got a lot of stuff to get into, the new teams, the new look of the teams, and also, of course, our predictions, and David Stern as well, too. So without further ado, let me bring on the guy that's the only guy on our show, at least host, rather, they watch both the NBA and the ABA, Mr. Royce Fisher. And how are you today, sir?
I'm doing fine, Rodney. You just gave away my age, though, but I'm okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
Listen, I'm excited, man. We're just days away from the kickoff of the new NBA season. Of course, now the Lakers and the Mavericks, big game coming up on Tuesday. I'm looking forward to being there.
Yeah, it's going to be a big game. And not only just Lakers and the Mavericks game coming up, but that same night, you got Boston taking on Miami. And that's going to prove to be, I think, a critical matchup throughout the entire Eastern Conference for the entire season. So we got a lot to get to. And, of course, as I mentioned before, we hope to be joined by Sekou Smith from NBA.com. The Hangtime blog should be joining us at about 9:15 or so. So without further ado, let's jump right into it. This is a full NBA preview show. Let's start out with a little bit about David Stern. We were on the conference call yesterday with the NBA, and David Stern was on talking about the status of the league and what's going on with the league right now. He also made a big announcement about him stepping down. This is kind of a little bit of what he had to say in his intro yesterday during the media call.
Very successful board of governors meeting. We reviewed the financial results through the report of the audit and compensation committee. And it definitely appears that the collective bargaining agreement and the revenue sharing agreements are working. That report also did include a report on how contract signings are going and how effective the collective bargaining agreement is. We reviewed the business for the upcoming season. I think it's fair to say that our game is very, very popular. Our fans loved it last season. We had nice increase in ratings. There's an enormous degree of excitement about this year. And in fact, as a sort of an indication of that, we have renewed at our highest rate ever. We're at 86%, which is an incredible league-wide renewal rate for season tickets. We've sold more season tickets than ever, new ones, and we are closing in on record sponsorship numbers. So the game is just in a terrific state. We reviewed our recent international travels, which were also accompanied by a review of our increasing international business, not just in China, although that was a point of emphasis, but on many other emerging regions that are promised great stuff for us. I was able to attend the games in Berlin, Milan, and Shanghai. Adam attended the games in Barcelona and in Istanbul. And he, in addition to joining me in Shanghai, he went to Beijing as well. And Joel Lipton was at the Magic Hornets game in Mexico City, which was also a great success. All sellouts, all focusing on, you know, on our improving our business, showcasing our game, and indeed demonstrating our commitment to NBA Cares. You know, speaking of which, you know, we had an incredible off season with respect to NBA players and WNBA players and legends traveling the globe from basketball.
Let me go ahead and stop that right there. I know it's a little bit lengthy on this intro, but he went on to go ahead and announce that he was going to be stepping down February of 2014. And in his place will be Adam Silver, who has been his right-hand guy. He's been in the NBA. Adam Silver's been in the NBA 20 years. David Stern's been around the NBA 30 years, taking over in 1984, and now going to retire in 2014. So, Royce, you've got a unique perspective because you were able to kind of be a fan of basketball, at least professional basketball, before David Stern took over the NBA. Me, I've only known David Stern. I mean, I've only, you know, been a basketball fan while he was part of the commission, was the commissioner of the league, but you've seen the time of basketball when he wasn't. So from your perspective, you know, how vital or how big to the game of basketball in the NBA has David Stern been?
$2, and you talking about watching the sport grow. I have seen it grow from I mean, back then they played in warehouses. They didn't even have some places didn't even have stadiums. But when they combined and became the NBA as we know today, it really grew. And you actually right, David Stern did a lot for the sport of basketball. I thought he, as far as commissioner was concerned, I thought he was probably one of the best. Most like commissioners. He did so much for the sport. And, you know, it's a ton of list of things that he's done for the sport. And I was surprised that he was stepping down, but I guess it was time.
You know, 30 years is a pretty long time. So.
Yeah, and I don't think, well, I wasn't expecting an announcement. I don't know about you, but I think a lot of people were surprised. But he has a long list of accomplishments. I'm pretty sure we're going to get into those today. But, great commissioner. He'll be known as a great commissioner. He did a lot for the sport, and he really took it worldwide.
And he, of all the sports, he's the longest tenured commissioner of any league. You know, NFL, Major League Baseball, any of the professional sports. He's the longest tenured. He's been in that position for such a long time. And let's talk a little bit about his accomplishments real fast. And I think one of the biggest things I think he'd be known for is growing the game internationally. You heard him talk about some of the games they had during the preseason, from Berlin to Brazil to Mexico City to Shanghai to Spain. And it all started by his decision to put together USA Basketball and get that dream team in 92 to go out there and play in the Olympics. And that was started a lot of the international growth for the NBA.
And you're absolutely right. I think that was a big accomplishment in his tenure for him to allow the professional players to play in the Olympics. You know, after America had been embarrassed so many times in the Olympics, and they wanted the players to play, and he allowed them to play. And that really opened up the international eyes to the NBA, and that's why we have so many European players,
right?
You know, playing in the league today. I think that really opened it up. You know, and not only that, you know, he was an advocate of hiring black coaches and black GMs, and at the time that wasn't really a great decision, but he did open up the floodgates for that. I thought that was great, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And you got, and from a player standpoint, players made a lot more money under David Stern than they did previous before. Now, of course, the state of the league changed, but he made it so popular that where it was not, it was looked at more as the as a premier type of sport. He improved the product, I guess, is the best way to look at it. Would you say the same thing?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, not only that, he improved the game, too. You know, he stopped the hand-checking. You know, just he changed the dress code, the players, you know, dress code, the video reviews. He expanded it from 23 teams to 30 now. And what's so funny is, when he came to the league, Michael Jordan was just getting drafted. He was number 23, and they had exactly 23 teams, but now they have 30. So he has seen a lot of players come to the league, man. I mean, he has really opened up the game of basketball. Like you said, the revenues are numbers in the billions. And, you know, one thing good about it, he has kept the average ticket prices low. And I don't know how they were able to do that with salaries going up. You know, actually, a family can't afford to go to a basketball game. It's one of the sports that you can't afford to go to.
Well, that's true.
And I thought that was great.
Yeah, absolutely. And plus, I think another thing that he did that I think kind of resonates through not just NBA but all across other sports, and that was developing the lottery system where he can kind of spread some of the new players out to some of these smaller markets. And he's always been an advocate for the smaller market. Now, of course, the lottery has had its controversy over the years, but the NBA lottery system is an event, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one thing I can remember him doing when Magic Johnson announced that he had AIDS, you know, we didn't know a lot about AIDS then. And for him to allow him to play in the All-Star game and to continue playing basketball, he was one of the first guys that came out and said it was okay for him to play and really opened people's eyes to the fact that, as bad as it was during that time, that it was acceptable. And I thought that was really big of his part.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if you guys want to hear his introduction and his retirement announcement in total, all you have to do is go to our website, rfsportsradio.com, click on the RFSN radio tab, and there you can hear the full introduction, also his retirement announcement as well, along with other premium programming as well. Another question came up during that time period about his goals before retirement. Listen to what he had to say when asked that.
Goal is just to assure that there is a seamless transition in the change of leadership, while at the same time driving the league forward in the variety of initiatives that are now undergoing, that are now, you know, ongoing, and to, you know, just to make sure that nothing gets dropped or lost.
And he says he's going to stop for a little while and focus. You know, he's not going to be away from the game, but put more focus into the international game and try to grow it internationally. Now, they're opening up this big basketball facility in Beijing, and he mentioned during the call that they've had so many people wanting to do business with them in China that they don't know if they can even get to everyone's request. So you see where he's trying to move this thing internationally, and you see the effect it's having on the NBA, glowing as a global sport. But do you think that we could ever have a possibility? I know it seems far-fetched, but maybe not as far-fetched as it did 10 years ago, of having teams overseas that play in the NBA.
Absolutely. I think that's the next big step for this game. We saw, even this year, we saw a lot of teams play overseas games, and the crowds and the fans were exceptionally big. You know, they really embraced that. You know, it's something David said, and I'm going to be one of his quotes. He said, life is a journey. Each step along the way, there are things that you have to do, things that you maybe wish you had done. But I don't keep that list, and so I'm totally pleased with the transition of which we are embarking. I think he was talking about taking the sport really, really global. And like I said, within the next couple of years, I could see teams playing. It's going to be an international sport.
Yeah. Well, let's not act, you know, he's done some great things. We also had some very controversial moments as well. Of course, the brawl at the Palace in Auburn Hills between the Indiana Pacers and the Detroit Pistons when they had to fight the fans. He's had a lot of black eyes. He's had to take over the dress code, and people think he's being too controlling in the way the NBA contract was structured at times. What do you think that some of the things that may be, you know, you think he's going to get a pass for some of those things? He won't be remembered as much for those because he's done so much other stuff.
You know, I think he will get a pass. Like I say, you have to weigh the good and bad. That's what I always say, and I think he's done more good than bad. But, you know, can you imagine going through 6 collective bargaining agreements with these players? And we know some of the stuff he had pulled, like you say, the brawl in Detroit, you know, and out of all these years, the 30 years he served, he's only banned 8 players. And I thought, you know, he stopped. He did the drug testing when a lot of players were smoking marijuana, you know, or doing drugs. He did put a ban on that. But, you know, those were things that he had to do. And I think if you go back and ask most of the basketball players to, you know, their thoughts about him, I think everybody would probably say a lot of good things about him. I don't think anybody say anything bad about him.
Yeah, I think so, too. Well, he did speak on his legacy in the NBA and also the passing the torch over to Adam Silver. This is what he had to say about that yesterday.
Some choppy waters, some extraordinary opportunities, and managed to, on his watch, the league grew in popularity, became a global phenomenon, and the owners and the players and the fans did very well.
Hey, Gary, I'm thrilled. It's an enormous opportunity. It's one that, you know, I've been at the league for over 20 years now, so well, I don't think I ever had a right to anticipate it. It's certainly something over, you know, since I became deputy commissioner 6 years ago that David and I have touched on, and increasingly over the last few years we've talked more about it. But I mean, I'm enormously honored and thrilled, and appreciate the transition period that David's providing me. So, you know, I'll have the next 15 months, you know, for yet even more on-the-job training, working directly with David.
Hey. And that was Adam Silver there talking about his transition period. And he said the same thing we said. You know, he really wants to be remembered for growing the sport internationally. And, of course, like you said, being able to kind of make it one of the most popular sports in the world. Not just here in the United States. So I guess we're all on the same track there. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump right into the free agency moves. We'll give our predictions about teams. And, of course, a story that we broke over the offseason that we're going to see how effective that's going to be in the first game of the season. So stay tuned. You listen to RF Sports Radio, rfsportsradio.com.
We are back. DeSoto Eagles football is back on RF Sports Radio. Starting August 31st, tune in to RF Sports Radio to hear live Texas high school football action. Coach Claude Mathis returns to lead the Texas football powerhouse on another big season. The electric Dez White and Oregon recruit Dontre Wilson lead a high-powered, high-scoring offense. And hear it all right here on rfsportsradio.com. It all starts August 31st as the DeSoto Eagles take on Arlington Martin right there in Arlington, Texas. Tune in live for rfsportsradio.com for live DeSoto Eagles football action only here. I got up this morning late again, rushing, trying to get to the station. Didn't have time to fix coffee or breakfast or even grab a lunch. And I jumped in my car and realized, I don't even have gas. I stopped by the Texaco in DeSoto on Hampton and Pleasant Run, walked in, and immediately thought, this can't be a gas station. And I was right. It was Maryland's Fine Foods. The friendly staff there was able to give me a fresh-made breakfast from scratch, also a gourmet box lunch, and not to mention a tank of gas, too. I got to work and had an awesome day, and then thought my family would love to have a break from fast food. So I went online to Maryland's Fine Foods and placed an order for my entire family. And you know what? When I got to DeSoto, it was hot and ready for me to pick up on my way in. Trust me, guys, you got to try Maryland's Fine Foods, located in DeSoto at Hampton Road and Pleasant Run. Give them a call at 972-274-1070. That's 972-274-1070. Or try them online at marylandsfinefoods.com. This is RF with the RF Sports Radio Show. Do you have a business, a product, a service, or a website, and you need more customers? Advertise with the fastest growing internet sports radio show and market your business to sports fans worldwide. Don't miss a unique opportunity to capitalize on the biggest marketing genre in the world. Email me at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. That's rfsportsradio@gmail.com. We have options for every budget, and don't let business pass you by.
Chicago doesn't appear to be in the category. But since we have been in the business of sports, and in my case, it goes back lots of years, superstars, starting with Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, have had more than the ability to have a say in where they went. And in fact, in one of the early collective bargaining negotiations, I think I remember being in a conversation where players said, after some number of years, we should have a right to choose where we're going. And strangely enough, I agree with that. And so I am not as affected by it as you are. I mean, even if you're talking about Dwight Howard, so he was drafted by Orlando. He spent 7 years there, and yeah, in lieu of the eighth, Orlando got five draft picks. You know, that's a pretty good system in my view. And if Dwight Howard chooses to decide after 7 years, which is longer than the average career in the NBA, that he'd like to be in another city, I think that's a right for which he's bargained. And we could sort of, I'm not sure the players would ever agree to it again, but we could say you're not allowed to have any movement, no matter how many years you're under contract, and no matter where the draft has sent you. But even representing ownership, that's not a view that I ever agreed with.
And welcome back, everyone, to RF Sports Radio. That was David Stern during the media press conference yesterday talking about the CBA, the new agreement, and how superstars are moving to the big markets. You heard him talk about Dwight Howard leaving Orlando, going to L.A. So let's spend a little time on that. We're still waiting on our guest to call in, Sekou Smith from NBA.com. I got a message. He's caught up in a meeting. So hopefully we'll get him on as quick as possible. But until then, let's jump in, Royce, a little bit about some of the free agency that's going on and what happened during the offseason and how the new look of some of these teams and what we think about the new looks. But before we do that, me and you got a part of this NBA process pretty early in the offseason, going on the road with Jason Terry to cover his AAU team, spending a whole week with him in Florida. We were able to break their story about him leaving Dallas, going to Boston. So I want to start there first. That acquisition for Jason Terry, to me, is one of the most underrated free agent acquisitions there is out there. I think that's a definite upgrade for the Celtics, getting rid of Ray Allen, who, I mean, Ray Allen's good for a couple of threes, some good games, but Jason Terry, I think, can do a lot more for the Boston offense than Ray Allen can do.
Well, let's go back and look at free agency. You know, that was huge when it started. I remember guys had to stay on the team for as long as they wanted you, until they didn't want you anymore. But by them having a choice to go anywhere you want to, you know, I know people think that it favors the Lakers and Miami, seeing what those two teams have done, because the Lakers have acquired so many guys through free agency that came to the Lakers. And also we saw LeBron James making that choice to go to Miami. And, you know, this is huge. And, you know, we saw a lot of movement this summer. And to me, like I said, I think that was a great acquisition. I don't know how Allen was able to get out of his no trade clause deal he had with Boston, but even, you know, he went to Miami. So getting Jason Terry, you get a younger guy, you get a faster guy, you get a guy, you know, like I say, we had a chance to be around him. Great person, great guy, great teammate. I have a lot of respect for the guy. I think it was a big loss for the Dallas Mavericks and a great game for the Boston Celtics. But, you know, we had a lot of things going on, and I think LeBron James started something when he went to Miami teaming up. Mm-hmm. This was kind of stagnant for a while. We saw Shaq do it with Kobe. You know, we saw Kareem go to Lakers. You know, we saw a lot of other things. But, you know, it's huge now, you know, and guys that's been in the league 10, 12 years, that's been with the same team, that nothing has changed, no championship, no chance to win a championship. You know, before they end their career, they all want a ring. That's the whole purpose of playing, is to get the ring. And I thought it was some great trades. Some of them I questioned, you know, like Steve Nash, you know, he's not a young guy, but You know, everywhere he's been productive. But him going to the Lakers, and I think they got older. I don't know if they're going to be better. But some teams made a lot of movements and some didn't.
Well, let's start with the Western Conference. You know, we see a lot more of them throughout the NBA season. Let's start with some of the big acquisitions in the Western Conference. Starting in that Southwest Division, we know the Mavericks have picked up on several different free agents, and all these guys are pretty much in here on one-year deals as they await to try to sign a big free agent in the offseason. Eventually, maybe not. They didn't get Deron Williams over the offseason. They hope to get someone else the next season, maybe Dwight Howard or whoever is going to be available. But they picked up guys like Elton Brand. They just signed Eddie Curry on waivers yesterday. Also O.J. Mayo. What do you think about their strategy and what they're doing trying to pick up some of these one-year guys and give them a chance to prove themselves before they get a long-term agreement?
Well, you know, I think this is a backup plan B for the Dallas Mavericks. Of course, now we know they wanted Deron Williams. That was the biggest thing. And I think they were really hoping to get Dwight Howard. And this is what I call a rebound deal because, you know, they lost out on Dwight Howard and Deron Williams. So you really have to have a backup plan. But I think they waited kind of late to pick up people. But the guys they did get, I thought, were pretty good. Really, they got the best available players. O.J. Mayo, I think, would be a great acquisition. He's young. You know, Jason Kidd, he was – up there in age, a little bit slower. I think they improved in the guard position. They were having trouble in center. They got rid of Haywood. I'm sorry, and because he wasn't giving them much production, you know. And Chris Kaman, I think, is a great acquisition if he can stay healthy. And overall, far as Plan B is concerned, I think they did the best they could do at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could definitely understand that. Let me ask you about another team in the Southwest Division that would be the Houston Rockets. They were trying to get in on a Dwight Howard trade early on, and they ended up basically getting Jeremy Lin, along with a lot of draft picks to go along with that. You know, Jeremy Lin was a success story for the New York Knicks. They sold a lot of merchandise for him. He didn't really help them in the playoffs. He was injured, didn't play. And now he's in Houston, and the buzz around Houston is about Jeremy Lin. The guy was on the cover of GQ, or in GQ magazine, I just read the
right.
other day. And now
right.
he's a Houston Rocket, the face of their franchise there. What do you think about that move, and you think it's going to be, you know, is it going to prove anything as far as Jeremy Lin's talent if he's in Houston?
Well, we will see, because, you know, he did a lot in New York when they were struggling, and he really made a name for himself. I think the guy will make him better. I think he's really productive. But the jury's still out for me on him. But, you know, Houston was probably the most active team during the offseason because mm-hmm. every time you heard about a trade or somebody, you know, was up for a trade, Houston was always in the mix.
Right.
Does that make them better? I just don't know. The jury's still out, but they are trying. I will give them credit for trying, and they're going to do whatever it takes to try to win because, you know, you're in a tough division in the West. You got San Antonio,
right.
you got Dallas, you got the Lakers, the Clippers are coming up. And, you know, what's surprising for me in the West is the Golden State so far in the preseason. Had the best record. They're like 6-2.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that adds to the crowd of feel already, you know. But when you talk about Houston, and like I said, all summer their name was always in the mix. They didn't actually get what they want, but they did get some draft picks for the future. So I think they're building this team for the future.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. You know, you mentioned Golden State. I was going to go there. Next, you know, Mark Jackson going into his second year as a coach there. They made the trade last year for Andrew Bogut, and he couldn't play last year, but now he's going to play this season. They got a legitimate person down low for Stephen Curry to be active. Of course, no Monte Ellis there, taking away the shots from Steph Curry. I think it's going to be a big year for him. Having Andrew Bogut, having David Lee, I think they'll have a better control of what they can do offensively. especially this season, by having those two guys in the lineup. And Steph Curry is going to continue to get better, especially with Mark Jackson teaching him how to play point guard in the NBA. So I agree with you. I think their 4-2 record in the preseason is no joke, you know. But again, they've always been the type of team that if they get into the playoffs, you don't know who they can beat. You remember what they did to the Mavericks that year, so you just don't know what's going to happen with them. One team that I was surprised that they was able to stay together was the Oklahoma City Thunder. I thought for sure they would lose a player, maybe James Harden, maybe they couldn't keep that team together. But they've done it for one more year, able to keep that core group together, and they've got to be now a pretty big favorite for the West again.
And you're absolutely right. I was shocked that these guys were able to stay together because usually when a team goes this deep into the playoff, a team of that caliber, I mean, it's right for the pickings because guys are offered a lot of money to leave. And for them to keep that team intact, I thought it was great. We saw the Mavericks do just the opposite after they won a championship. They broke that team up. But for them to keep this team together, I thought was fantastic. And, you know, we saw some of these guys in Olympics, you know, that only made them better because getting that Olympic play and international play, you know, that we see guys come back for the Olympics, they're totally different. You know, the game is a lot better, the game's a lot more improved. Mm-hmm. They do things a little different. But for them to keep this team intact, I think it's going to really give them the advantage in the West this year. I think they go back.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, like you said, playing all that basketball during the offseason in the Olympics, they had three players on the Olympic team for the USA, and then Serge Ibaka playing in the Olympics as well, too. So almost their whole starting five.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, you're right. That's a great point. Let's jump to the Pacific Division and spend a little time there. We talked about Golden State already. Before we get to the Lakers, I want to talk to you about the Clippers and what they did in the offseason. Picking up Lamar Odom, picking up Matt Barnes to kind of give their bench a little more oomph, if that's the best way to put it. But then also having the return of Chauncey Billups to the lineup this year. And we all know that Chris Paul is going to be the thing that lingers over their head until they get a deal done. Will he get traded? Will he leave at the end of the season? You know, but Chris Paul is like the ultimate professional. I think he's going to go out there and do his job. If he can do that in New Orleans, and we all knew he was going to get traded, I think he can do the same thing in Los Angeles. So what do you think about their chances to go further to the playoffs after making it to the first round last year?
Well, they're starting to look like the old Lakers to me, if you ask me. Two of the old players from the Lakers. I thought one of the most, you know, we talked about David Stern, one of the, probably the most best important things if you're a Clipper fan was him blocking that trade of Chris Paul going to the Lakers. And that's how the Clippers ended up with it. But, you know, last year they were great. We saw them go deep into the playoffs. But, they, you know, without Chauncey Billups, and having him healthy this year really gives them, to me, the advantage in their division because, you know, if you look at this team, they were already good. And that's without Chauncey. And we know Chauncey missed the big shot. Mm-hmm. And by them bringing in Barnes, we know he's a good journeyman. You know, he can come in, do just about anything. But I do have questions about Lamar Odom. I don't know if that was a great pickup or not because we know how that experiment with him winning Dallas didn't go so great.
Right.
What are they going to get out of Lamar Odom? That's the question.
True.
I don't know if he's
caught up
in
this
Hollywood
thing. He's back in L.A. He's wanting to be back in L.A. and he's back playing in the Staples Center. So I think – I don't know. Like you said, we don't know his mindset. I know he's supposed to be going through some off-the-court things. But, I mean, the guy's back in L.A. is what he wanted the whole time. And I forgot to mention, too, they did also pick up Jamal Crawford and Grant Hill as well. So, they're a loaded team. They got two starting fives on that team.
Listen, they probably have the deepest bench in the NBA right now. And, I say that literally because if you look at it, they have – a lot of all-stars and some great players. I mean, Jamal Crawford is a great pickup. You know, Grant Hill, we know he's gonna go out and give you 100%. You know, it's a new Grant Hill now. He's not the same old Grant Hill we saw a couple of years ago. His game has really gotten better. And like I said, this to me, is the team to beat, you know, in the West. These guys are loaded, one of the deepest benches in the NBA.
Yeah, they're going to be an exciting team to watch. And, of course, with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan in Live City and what they can do, it's going to be a good team. Plus, Caron Butler going his second year there with this team is going to be a really big improvement as well.
Now, if you compare this team to the Lakers team, I think the Clippers are better.
Right, because the Lakers, of course, we know they're big. They got the big blue chip in all of this by getting Dwight Howard. They also added Steve Nash. But yet they've kind of depleted their bench at the same time because they really don't have those bench players that they really need to make it work. But they've got these superstar names. They got the big talent on the starting five. You know, tell me a little bit about what you think about the Dwight Howard trade. Now we must say that for the first time they've gone 0-8 in the preseason.
Right.
But again, you know, they've had injuries to Dwight Howard. Kobe's been injured, so they never really kind of put that full team on the court. But let me ask you, what happens to the Lakers this season? Are we going to see them win a championship? Because I think this move was all about winning the whole thing, not about getting into the playoffs.
Well, I'm not quite ready to give the Lakers a championship just yet. Of course, we've seen the experiment before, where they got Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Shaq, and it didn't produce a championship. I'm not quite sold. I know Dwight Howard was probably the biggest trade, you know, anybody can get this year. Everybody was after him. And we know the Lakers got him. But, you know, they gave up everything to get it. You know, Kobe is a lot older. In the last couple of years, he's had injuries. You know, he might not even play the opening game.
But you wouldn't have known that last season. I mean, he played like a young Kobe last season.
But he was out a long stretch because Andrew Bynum carried that team at least 6 to 8 games last year when Kobe was out.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Andrew Bynum was a better deal than Dwight Howard. I say that because last year I kind of lost a lot of respect for Dwight Howard. You know, he played this possum game to me with the team which he should have been playing. You know, it could have been the injury. But, of course, not. He ended up in the Lakers. You know, I know he lives there, but he just came out the other day saying he wished he had went to Brooklyn. So, you know, I know that L.A. is a great place to play in, but we don't know what we're going to get with Dwight Howard. He missed half the season last year. And other than that, Metta World Peace, you know, you don't know how to control him. You know, you don't know what you're gonna get out of him. He's already one foul away from being suspended in any game. You know, he can take off, and they have no bench. Steve Nash has bad back problems. You know, we see him when he's out of the game. He's laying on his back trying to get his back. And I think this, if anybody gets injured, it messes up the whole chemistry of this team, and none of them have really played together. I think that's a lot to put on Kobe's back by itself. You know, is he going to stay healthy? But if you remember last year, Andrew Bynum took this team on his back when Kobe was out injured for at least 6 to 8 games, and they won. He actually put this team on his back and carried them. So I don't know if Dwight can do that. There's a lot of stars. There's only one basketball. And that, you know, I think, is the problem. Because we know all big men want the ball. And that was Dwight Howard's problem in Orlando. And we know Steve Nash likes to have the ball, too, in Kobe. So I'm not sure this experiment's going to work. I'm not giving them the championship. And we just don't know what we're going to get.
As a avid Kobe Bryant supporter, let me say that first, as a big Kobe Bryant fan myself, I like this team better than I liked the team last year. And I'm going to tell you why, because I think they really suffered when it came playoff time with Ramon Sessions running the point because he just didn't know what to do. He just didn't have the experience. He wasn't in a role like that before. He allowed Kobe to kind of, you know, overshadow him so much that he didn't know what to do. And you go in that locker room last year, and you've got Kobe Bryant, Metta World Peace, Andrew Bynum, and then everybody else. You know, Matt Barnes, of course, has been in the league for quite some time. He knows what to do, but he's got a limited role on the team.
Right.
But I think with this team that they have now, everyone has an understanding of what it takes. I mean, Dwight Howard's been to an NBA final before. Steve Nash has been to a Western Conference final before, but never to an NBA final. He knows that the time is now. Kobe knows the time is now. And if they can get Dwight Howard to play to his ability and focus on what he has to do on the court, they've got a recipe for success. Now, I'm not giving them the title either because I still think it's going to be a very, very hard, a tough road to get past Oklahoma City, number one. But I think that I can see them and Oklahoma City playing each other in the Western Conference Finals compared to some of the other teams out there. It's just something about the way they put it together. They're going to start off really, really slow because, of course, they're working through some injuries. But I think once they get past Christmas and then, of course, past the All-Star break, I think you really start seeing what this team is capable of doing. My biggest question mark for the Lakers is the same question mark it was last year, and that's the head coach. You know, I don't know if he can coach the team. I didn't think he could coach that team last year. Mike Brown is good for the Cleveland Cavaliers, but I still don't think he's the right coach for the L.A. Lakers.
And that's a good point. I was going to talk about that, too. Can Mike Brown handle all these egos? And that's the thing. Because, you know, he's a defensive-minded coach. And all these guys are offensive players. Like I said, there's only one ball. And you'll be looking at four superstars. And you know, I'm going to discount one person because Paul Gasol in the last couple of years has not shown up in big games in the playoffs. You know, he played great during the regular season, and then somehow or another he just kind of disappeared during the playoffs. And like you said, I think that's the biggest thing. This 0-8 shows me that Mike Brown really has a problem. I mean, you know, he had 8 games with the roster that they have and not win a preseason game. To me, that's a red flag. Mm. And I know Kobe didn't play in 2 of them, but still to me is, you know, that they don't have anybody else. And if you look at the bench, you know, God forbid if somebody, one of the major stars, get hurt, then who do you go to? I mean, who comes off the bench and gives you that, you know, that extra, you know, what you miss it? If Dwight Howard goes out, who's the backup center?
Right.
If Kobe goes out, which is the leader of this team, and we know, and without Steve Nash making them go, I don't know who's the backup point guard.
Well, that's the thing. You're right. I mean, I think they're going to make some moves, though, throughout the season to bring in more players. I mean, I don't know how they can do it. I think they're going to be looking at the waiver wire very closely, close to the trade deadline, and when the waiver wire line comes up, I think they'll be looking at that, but they got to add somebody to that team, and I don't think Mike Brown is the guy that can scheme a good game plan together to take advantage of the other players that they have on the bench. So let me ask you this before we jump to the Eastern Conference real quick. We'll coast through a break. Who lasts from the job longer, Vinny Del Negro as coach of the Clippers or Mike Brown as coach of the Lakers?
I say Del Negro. he for what he did with that team last year and the direction that they're going and with the acquisition of players that they got, he can't go anywhere but up. But, you know, L.A. is a winning town. If you don't win, you're out. We know that. And if Mike Brown doesn't produce a championship or even a playoff with this team, you know, that he has, that everybody says is really the dream team, then he needs to be fired.
Yeah. Yeah, I think both of them get fired.
I could coach that team.
Yeah, I think both of them get fired this season. I don't know who's going to go first, but I don't think neither one of them coaches team next season some kind of way. Let's jump to the Eastern Conference real fast. Let's start out with the Atlantic Division, which I think had the most movement out of any division in basketball, you know, excluding the Pacific Division, the Western Conference. With Boston making their moves, of course, picking up Jason Terry after letting Ray Allen go, also the moves that they made in the draft, getting Jared Sullinger and other players, picking Jeff Green back up, who's back from injury, who has looked really, really good in the preseason. The whole team's looked good in the preseason. Talk about them for a second, Royce. They've always owned this division, but now you got the Brooklyn Nets and the moves they made, getting Deron Williams, getting the new arena, the new look, picking up Joe Johnson. Gerald Wallace, and of course with the Knicks and their acquisition, they're picking up all the old players they can find. Marcus Camby, Kurt Thomas. They're picking up anybody they can get. Rasheed Wallace, anyone they can find that can play alongside Carmelo and Amari, but also Jason Kidd, who I think is another underrated free agent acquisition, because now they got someone that can actually focus on being a point guard and not scoring. And then Philadelphia with Andrew Bynum. You know, they get an upgrade there, get rid of Elton Brand, amnesty him, send him to, he goes to Dallas, and now they pick up Andrew Bynum. So talk to me a little bit about the Atlantic Division and what these teams have done and how you see this thing kind of shaking up throughout the season.
Well, listen, as long as I can remember, Boston has always been on top. And that's almost a gimme with the talent they have. But just like every other team, these guys are older, and injuries can change a whole season for a team. I thought it was great that they picked up Jason Terry. He gave them what they lost in a trade with Allen. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, and Brooklyn, I'm not sure about it, because these guys really hadn't played together. On paper, they look great. They're young and athletic. But I'm going to tell you the team to look out for, and that's Philadelphia. So far in the preseason, they're 6-1. They have mm-hmm. the best record in the East.
Right.
And this is without Andrew Bynum being healthy.
Right.
Imagine how good they're going to be with Andrew Bynum. And then, you know, you got Indiana. You got a lot of young teams that are really, you know, up and coming. We saw this last year. But I'm not ready to give the crown to Boston yet because, like I said, if safe, God forbid, if anybody get injured. And we know one of those key players go out, they change the whole dynamic of this team. But I never mm-hmm. underestimate Doc Rivers. Yeah, one of the greatest coaches that I know.
He's got to be the best coach in that Atlantic Division if you look at Boston,
right.
Brooklyn, New York, Philadelphia,
right.
and Toronto.
And just on coaching alone, I would give it to Boston because he mm-hmm. finds a way to win. And guys like playing for him. He's a player coach, and they will produce so. But I tell you what, I'm going to keep my eye on Philly because I saw a lot in them last year. They made it to the playoffs and Indiana. Those are two teams I think may give Boston a run for their money. I'm not – now, the Knicks, it's perfect for Kidd because – Carmelo slows the ball down, and we know the kid does the same thing. We saw it last year in Dallas. He's not quick as he used to be. He doesn't take it to the basket, but he likes to set up jump shooters because he did it for Dirk for years. And that's great for Carmelo Anthony. But it does slow the game down, and that's the way the New York Knicks play. So I think that's perfect for them. How that pans out, I don't know. But we will see.
You know, when you talk about Jason Kidd, you think about all the point guards that he has mentored over the years, from the guys of the Mavericks, from Devin Harris,
Jersey.
To J.J. Barea, to Roddy Bouvoir. And then you think about all the teams he's been with in New Jersey and all over the place. He's mentored all these point guards. I always look up to him for advice. And now he's going to be able to kind of groom Raymond Felton into a passing point guard with some scoring ability. Because we know right. Raymond Felton can light up as well. And with the Knicks, I thought it was a big mistake letting Jeremy Lin go because he could have learned so much from Jason Kidd. You know, he could have learned how to play the point guard position the right way.
And he speeds the game up.
Yeah, he speeds the game up. He's a scorer, especially because you're going to have some injury issues with Amari Stoudemire no matter what happens. He's going right. to be injured sometime this year, and you're going to need somebody else to put up some scoring. Tyson Chandler, of course, got hurt in that last preseason game. He's looking at maybe having surgery. He'll be out for quite some time. But they've got so many players in New York, so many old, salty
right.
veterans, you know, kind of like an old girlfriend. You know, they just got chips on their shoulder. And I just see that team exploding sometime during the season with some kind of locker room outburst or some kind of on-the-court event. It's just too many different personalities, and I think I'm feel just like you about Brooklyn. It's so early to tell. Joe Johnson, I'm not a big fan of. I think he, you know, he got all that money in Atlanta, didn't do anything
right.
with that. I don't see him doing anything different in Brooklyn. In my concern, as far as I'm concerned, I think Gerald Wallace was a better acquisition than Joe Johnson. He would have been a lot cheaper, And then Philadelphia, I think, is a team to watch. Let's not forget, they did force the game seven with Miami in the playoffs. So I think you're right. I think Philadelphia's a team to watch, but I think Boston kind of still owns that division. Let's move over to the Central Division with the Chicago Bulls, Cleveland Cavaliers, Detroit Pistons, Indiana Pacers, who you talked about before, and the Milwaukee Bucks. And the Bucks have a new look. They added Monte Ellis to the team. And Chicago, I thought, made a good move by re-signing head coach Tom Thibodeau for a longer arrangement and possibly getting Derrick Rose back earlier than expected. So I think the jury's still out on Chicago. We don't know how quick Derrick Rose can get back to MVP form, but I think you got to say that they're going to run away with this Central Division if he does. If not, I think Indiana's going to be right there again.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think Chicago goes if Derrick Rose goes. If he stays
right,
healthy, you know, and pushes his team, we know they're a good team, but they're not a great team without him. And you're right, keeping Thibodeau was probably one of the best decisions. He's a great coach. I don't know how he gets these players, you know, Carlos Boozer out. He gets these guys to play and play hard every night. So you're absolutely right about that. But, you know, you really have to watch out for Indiana. And I think the Bucks got better this year. I really do. I think the Bucks are going to be a team to watch out. But Indiana, man, I mean, you know, they made it to the playoffs last year. And we know once a young team gets a taste of that, man, they get hungry. And I think Indiana is probably the most hungry team in this division. And I think these guys will give Chicago a run for their money. But I still give a nod to Chicago simply because these guys play hard every night. Every night.
You know, what's kind of funny as well, too, is if you think about it, with that division in Indiana, you know, they did lose Larry Bird. He's no longer head of basketball operations there. But I thought they made a good move by keeping Roy Hibbert there, who was a free agent.
Right.
Go ahead and resign.
And he was a free agent.
Yeah, because there was a little concern over whether he would resign there, or if they would even offer him a deal. But at least they're trying to show that, I guess, they want to play some big market type basketball.
Right.
So I agree. I agree that they're going to have to make some moves and keep making moves to keep improving their team. But like you said, I think they're going to be right there as well, too. Let's jump to the Southeast division in the Eastern Conference. And who has it easier in the Southeast division but the Miami Heat? I mean, they're going to be going to – they got Atlanta, Charlotte, Miami, and Orlando and D.C. And so, I mean, they've got no one else to play in that division. I mean, we know the Bobcats are not going to be where they need to be. You know, the Hawks are going to be decimated. They got Josh Smith and a slew of other players. Charlotte, and then, of course, Orlando with their five draft picks upcoming after losing Dwight Howard, and D.C., which is trying to rebuild right now as well, too. But Miami, let's spend a little time talking about the reigning champions. They get Ray Allen. You know, he decides to come over there and play with them. He'll give them some three-point shooting. But is that going to be enough for them to repeat?
Well, listen, they won the championship last year by three-point shooting. I mean, the last two games, they took off. And now you have the best three-point shooter to ever play the game. That only makes you better. I think Miami's on a mission. And like I said, they're in a division with some subpar team that probably won't make 500. So I'm going to give this win to the Heat without question. But, you know, and Ray Allen, and I think LeBron James is probably the number one player. And I will say this, and I want you to hear this. According to 104 writers, they took a poll, and LeBron James is the number one player in the NBA right now. And Dwayne Wade, and with him promising multiple championships, they already got one. Not one, not two. But I think they're on par to get another one. So, no question about it, Miami dominates this division.
Yeah, they definitely dominate this division. And if you look at the Eastern Conference as a whole, I think they got to get past, you know, two teams for sure, and that's Philadelphia and Boston. I mean, they got to get past them. Chicago, if Derrick Rose gets back into MVP form, they've got to get past them as well. But this, the whole Eastern Conference is set up for them to get back into an NBA final again. I mean,
absolutely.
I don't see any teams really making a big run or a big way to get there. And I think it's up to the Eastern Conference to try to stop these guys again. But they can repeat. I'm not going to say anything. You know, people say I'm a LeBron hater. I don't like him, you know. But, you know, after watching his run last year, I mean, you got to give hats off to the guy to win the MVP, then win the MVP of the finals and win a championship, then also go into the Olympics, win a gold medal. So you got to give your hats off to a guy to have a year like that and playing that much basketball and coming back and playing it again. I think they're going to hit the ground running. So I think they have a great chance to repeat.
I think Miami's not-so-secret weapon is going to be Chris Bosh. I think he's going to be – I look for him to have a great year this year. I think he feels more comfortable. I think he's going to be playing a little center too this year. And I think Chris Bosh is going to be the biggest difference on this team.
Yeah, I would agree to you as well. All right, so we both like Miami in the Eastern Conference. Who do we think is going to pull off the Western Conference win and get to the NBA Finals out of that division or that conference?
Wow, you're talking about the West? You know, I know the Lakers are favorite, but I'm going to give it to Oklahoma City. These guys have played together. They're on a mission. I think they were embarrassed last year. And Kevin Durant is the second best player, according to 104 writers. And so you got the second best player in the West in the league in Kevin Durant. You got a core group of guys that's been together for a while. You got some young guys that are still young and athletic. And they got something to prove. I really do believe that they're going to have a chip on their shoulder this year. And I think they're going to be on a mission. And I think, you know, great coach, great organization. You know, we've seen them up close and personal. I'm going to give it to Oklahoma over the Lakers.
You know what? I think Oklahoma City is going to be the team that makes it out of the Western Conference. I'm just like you. I also think it'll be a repeat in the finals, but I don't think the end is going to be a repeat. I think somehow the Kevin Durant pops up, gets his first NBA title this season. They beat the Miami Heat in 7 games in the finals. Is what my prediction is.
Well, he was also voted the number one closer too to close out a game. So
yeah, I think you learned a lot from playing the Olympics and also playing in the finals. I think they close it out this time, and Kevin Durant gets a ring.
Absolutely. Who do you think coming out of the East?
Well, I think we both selected Boston to come out of the East. Not Boston, but Miami to come out of the East. And I think, like I said, they'll play Oklahoma City. It'll be a repeat of last year again.
Yeah, it won't be the first time we saw two teams back-to-back in the playoffs. And I think you're absolutely right.
And just real quick, we just found out a few minutes ago that the balloting for the All-Star game this year, they're actually going to take off the position of center. So it won't be a designated center spot on the ballot for the All-Star game. That kind of tells you the way the NBA is going, Royce.
Well, you know, they got power forward, the centers now, centers and power. I mean, these power forwards are just as big as centers nowadays, you know. And
right.
These guys are more versatile than centers. So, I guess that is the direction they're headed.
Yes, that's where they're headed. Well, thank everyone for tuning in to our show. Make sure you go back and download it on iTunes. Look up RF Sports Radio. Make sure you go to our website, rfsportsradio.com, for more information and some more premium content that we can provide you. Especially if you're a basketball fan, you get a chance to watch the pregame and postgame press conferences live. Also, follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/RF Sports Radio. Until next time, thank everyone for tuning in. We'll see you next week. RF Sports Radio, rfsportsradio.com.